Every year, American families spend untold billions of dollars on residential care and special schools for their wayward children. So, just what is it that makes the more reputable programs so effective in bringing transformation to otherwise troubled teenagers? And is it possible that parents could implement some of these same healing and therapeutic strategies at home, saving themselves heartache, headache, and a whole lot of their hard-earned money? In some cases, we think they can. Stay tuned and find out how today on Licensed to Parent. Hello and welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a residential program for troubled teens located just northeast of Atlanta, Georgia. Our host is Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill Academy, and I'm Rich Rossell. We're glad to have you with us today because today we're going to try to help you avoid having your kids here. Trace, there is no doubt that Shepherd's Hill has a stellar track record for being a place where, frankly, miraculous transformations take place in character, in conduct, and in the spiritual health of these teens, to the point where even the physical appearance and the countenances of these kids have changed as well. How would you explain that happening?
Well, first of all, Rich, it really is something to behold. I mean, we probably need to take pictures of these kids when they come in and then take pictures of them when they leave. They would barely recognize themselves. But
If the diet programs do it, you may be onto something
here. There you go. But unfortunately, there aren't a lot of people these days who are willing to accept what we know to be the single most important answer to what's bringing life and fulfillment back into the lives of these kids. And not only just the kids that we serve here at Shepherd's Hill Academy, but to their parents and extended families as well.
So what is this single most important answer?
Well, it's a knowledge of and a healthy, submitted, and committed relationship with the God who created them through Jesus Christ. And I know that sounds simple, it sounds cliche, but it really is the truth, Rich. He is the author of life. So I have a feeling that, following his directives would be a good idea. But man, because of the fall in the garden, has always fallen into the devil's trap to believe that he's got a better idea, both on how to, not only just how to live, but how to raise their kids as well, because they think they're their kids when really they're just stewards over them for
And that's a hard thing to grasp. especially if you were there in the delivery room, you're going to say, nope, that one's mine.
Yeah, I'm paying the bills.
Well, this really is a supernatural transformation that's taking place. And especially as you've got the kids here, you're cultivating the ground, so to speak, making the individual's hearts fertile for critical spiritual insights.
No, that's exactly right. And cultivating the soil of these kids' hearts and making that ground, metaphorically speaking, fertile is what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy. It's allowing the seed of God's Spirit to take root and bear fruit. And these kids become open to the universal truths of God and His Word. And then they come to their own conclusions about God, which is inevitably congruent with what Scripture has already revealed about them. But nobody, including the kids at Shepherd's Hill, can ever experience this spiritual homecoming, so to speak, until they crack open the Bible and have it confirmed for themselves. And to be fair, there are times when folks, and certainly the kids here, come to conclusions about God that are not congruent with Scripture, and that's when God uses Scripture to set the record straight in those areas as well.
But I don't think I'm hearing you say that reading the Bible alone is what is bringing healing to these kids, are you?
Well, no, not exactly, though I certainly think...
It's foundational, certainly.
Yeah, I certainly think it can. I've had somebody in ministry tell me, what's one more Scripture really going to make the difference in Junior's life?
It might.
And I'm telling you, I've seen that happen. I've absolutely seen that happen. We had a kid one time where we said, okay, give me a paraphrase on Proverbs. I forget the verse or the chapter, rather. Give me a paraphrase on that whole chapter. And they did that. And once they did it, it gave them an appetite to do every one of them on their own. We never asked him to do it. He just did it on his own because it intrigued him that much. It's really the bigger picture that I'm talking about. It's creating that atmosphere, a living environment, where scriptural truths are lived out consistently on a regular basis in real time, and where reading or hearing the Word of God actually happens. Most parents feel they need an act of Congress to get their kids to digest Scripture, much less you know, study it. While other parents would admit that, you know, their living environments in their homes because of turmoil or, you know, whatever. Maybe there's an unbelieving spouse. There's schools they go to, the neighborhoods they live in. They're just not conducive for spiritual growth. And they realize that a place like Shepherd's Hill will put these kids in an atmosphere where they can grasp these deeper things of life.
Well, just a moment ago in the opening of this, we said something that I want to come back to. But I do want to, again, underline the fact that a knowledge of Scripture, a study of Scripture, is foundational to the change that takes place.
Sure.
But a moment ago in the beginning, I mentioned that what we're going to be talking about today is that parents can actually get things turned around at home regarding trouble they're having with their teens without the need for a residential facility like Shepherd's Hill.
Right.
What would keep this from happening in every case outside of a supernatural miracle of God at home? What is the straw that seems to break the camel's back, so to speak, making residential care a necessity?
Mm-hmm. Good question. The straw that breaks the camel's back is when parents lose total credibility and respect from Junior. That's when a parent's authority goes out the window. And at that point, I don't care what mom and dad say or what they do. Junior is bent on his own way. And that's when parents either get the epiphany on their own on how to handle Junior, or they call for help. And that epiphany is very often, mom and dad, you need a residential facility, whether it's Shepherd's Hill or somewhere else.
Well, certainly there are a number of fine residential programs across the country. And in fact, in a recent program, we were talking about some of the telltale signs that your teen may be going through to help determine whether you might need one. But speak to us for a moment from experience about what sets Shepherd's Hill apart in the eyes of many Christian leaders, pretty much as the gold standard, as we've said, in residential care. What exactly happens at Shepherd's Hill in particular that parents can take note of today and perhaps therefore apply it at home and keep from actually having to enroll their child in a program and a school like Shepherd's Hill?
Yeah, and I've developed a list of things. It's not an exhaustive list by any means. No particular order, but
I pull out my snare drum and go, number one?
Okay. No, you know how I feel about lists in the first place, but this stuff needs to be in you, parents, that you need to understand this. It needs to be part of who you are, how you respond in every situation, because you have a deep knowledge of the Word of God. But I think, you know, you mentioned having to roll your kid in a program like Shepherd's Hill. I can't speak for other programs, but I can speak for Shepherd's Hill, and I don't mean to make this an infomercial for Shepherd's Hill, but our pastor from the pulpit in our church has said the best kids on the planet would do well having a year at Shepherd's Hill Academy. You know, it's really a discipleship clinic. I can compare with data our place with any place on the planet as to what's going on as far as the healing. It's documented. And the stuff that we're doing with these kids is nothing new about it. It's very old. And I say old because it's biblical. It's just biblical principles that we're doing. And I want to go down through some of these things to share with parents what they could be doing at home. You know, kids are getting off their medications. We know that outside stimuli changes body and brain chemistry. Mm-hmm. And doctors, think that, you know, because this is a chemical imbalance or whatever, that it has to be handled with a little chemical pill to fix it all. And I'm saying, we can do away with those pills in many cases. Not every case. I think there's a place for medication. That God gave us the ability to figure all that out. But when you stimulate a kid with the truth, the love, the environment that is a godly environment, that will change body and brain chemistry right there. And those are some of the things we want to explain to family, to parents in particular, to create in their own homes so that maybe they don't have to keep their kid at a place for a year.
Now, one of the things you just said was about overstimulation that may have caused some of these problems. We underscore this many times on this program, and there are a number of ways that kids are getting overstimulated, if you will, electronics being a primary one, but not the only one. You know, this aspect of having a cell phone attached to you through a bodily implant almost, and it's always there. You're texting, you're doing stuff. Your method of communication has changed. Mm-hmm. Far too many teens are spending far too much time, and adults also actually, on the internet, on the computer, totally away from life and reality, But, you know, spending time on social media, spending time there as opposed to interacting with other people.
Right.
But also surrounding themselves with bad teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I know you're going to address. But the fact that they are being overfed bad information.
Yeah, and the bad information is not coming from a face-to-face contact. So it's harder to detect what is really true and what's false. But, you know... I think number one on this list, if that's what you want to call it, is that at Shepherd's Hill, kids are experiencing unconditional love. And I don't know that this is possible without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes parents want to disown their kids, or they at least make the kid feel they want to disown them because Junior does something that doesn't sit well with the parent, and the parent makes them feel like they're unloved. I'm sure the parents love their kids, but... This unconditional part, and that goes with the full definition of love, too. I think that we have got this false notion that love is just the warm, fuzzy, touchy-feely, make-me-feel-good thing, and if Junior's smiling all the time, then I got to be doing something right as a parent, and that's not necessarily true. I try to tell parents that, yeah, love includes affirmations and the warm fuzzies, but love's like a battery, and the warm fuzzies and the affirmations are like the positive side of the battery, but if the battery's truly going to function, we'll call it the love battery, then there's a negative side of that battery that has to be applied as well. And that's where the discipline and the boundaries and things like that come in. The tough love, as James Dobson would define it. And that's where parents seem to have a lot of problems today, because sometimes there's this ugly word involved in that called pain, whether you want to call it emotional, physical, or psychological, whatever. No pain, though, no gain, though.
But let me quickly caution parents who might have heard that not to read that the wrong way.
Right.
We're not saying that warm fuzzy is all good and discipline is bad. We're saying that the two poles of the battery, it takes both poles to do it. So the positive and negative poles. But discipline is a good thing. It's a necessary thing. But as you say, the person being disciplined, I mean, Christ's disciples, that word means, that he was disciplining them in the faith, nurturing their faith. But sometimes hard lessons, sometimes easy lessons. I just want to make sure that a parent listening right now is not hearing us say the discipline is bad, because you could take from that, therefore I better not discipline my child.
No, golly, I was hoping that they would know that discipline is good. The Bible says if you don't discipline your son, you don't love your son.
Right.
And folks, right now, I won't go through it all right now, but study Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 talks about, our fathers disciplined us as they thought best. That discipline was painful, but later on it brought a harvest of righteousness and peace. For the benefit of Junior. So unconditional love, and then understanding love, not with the devil's dictionary, but with God's dictionary. And then the other thing that would go on here that parents could take back to their homes is taking their faith seriously. I'm amazed at the number of people who think that, just showing up at church on Sunday, doing their, I've heard it's called their obligation.
Yeah.
That makes Junior a holy prodigy of the parents, and that just is not the case. And when you look at George Barna's statistics, you see that only 9% of the evangelical born-again adults claim to live by a biblical worldview, and in the teenage population, it's only 2%. So, we have deceived ourselves into believing that we're living by and raising our kids according to a biblical worldview when the stats prove otherwise.
And I would encourage you also, as you're considering this, as an adult, find other adults who are living out their faiths, not just on Sunday, but during the week.
Yeah.
And stay in fellowship with them. Hold each other accountable in that regard, because having been there myself, it's very encouraging to have a good friend who is living the life the way you want to remind you to be your model, so that you can then model that type of faithful living to your kids.
Exactly, and I'm gonna move to that point in just a second. But getting back to taking your faith seriously, kids hate hypocrisy, even though they're hypocritical themselves. A lot of times, they cannot stand it from adults, particularly their parents, and they'll throw it up in your face. Kids respect commitment to something. They need something real. Okay, they need to know that everyone's on the same page. That mom and dad, if they're both claiming to serve the same God, then by golly, let's be on the same page with how we're doing this thing. Mm. And Otherwise, kids are pitting both ends against the middle, and there's no security in that. And it's not only discrediting mom and dad, but it's discrediting the God they claim to serve. Also, when kids see that parents are submitted to an authority greater than themselves, it's easier for Junior then to submit to their authority.
Mm, very good.
Okay. And then that moves on to what you alluded to, is authoritative community. And that at Shepherd's Hill, we have an authoritative community environment here where we're surrounded with those like-minded people, people who can hold one another accountable and lift each other up in their faith. And, we don't have an authoritative community in America anymore. When you and I were growing up, Rich, our communities were authoritative communities, even though the rest of the people on our block may not have been considered Christians, they still raise their kids with a Christian ethic, a Judeo-Christian ethic. And that supported mom and dad's ideas and ideals in the family. Whereas today, pretty much everywhere Junior goes is attacking those ideas and those ideals, that worldview. So it's important to artificially manufacture that at home by where you send your kids to school. Hopefully homeschool would be an option for you. Where you shop, the neighborhood you live in, the friends, the adult friends that you hang out with, that they're on the same page with you and can affirm and encourage your kids along the way. Where you go to a church. People make a big mistake in going to church because their pappy went to that church and their grandpappy went to that church, and you know, great grandma's buried in the backyard. Well, great grandma would jump out of that grave and leave if she could too, perhaps, you know, depending on what's going on there.
Right.
But it goes back to the accountability. And I've said this before on the program that, you know, when I was a kid growing up, if I messed up down the block, Mr. Jones could see me out his picture window, come out the front door, pick me up, whack my rear end all the way home, hand me to my dad. My dad would take over from there and thank Mr. Jones for doing it. But you know that's not happening today.
Right. So there's don't you touch my child.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'll sue you, you know. So we need neighbors who get it, who are right on the same page. And it may, in some cases, mean moving. And you think, well, that's pretty drastic. But when you think of the drastic consequences of staying in the wrong neighborhood, it puts it all in perspective.
Yeah, sure does. You're listening to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. And today, Trace Embry and I are talking about things that you can do at home to help you avoid having to resort to sending your child to a residential facility like Shepherd's Hill Academy. We've got quite a long list. This will likely span a couple of programs, but we'll be back with more right after this.
One of the programs offered by Shepherd's Hill Academy to help troubled teens involves horses. The Equine-Assisted Psychotherapy Program, or EAP, is a therapeutic approach to enhance behavioral, relational, emotional, and spiritual growth. Teens in the program grow in problem-solving skills, anger management, personal responsibility, and more, all while learning safe and natural horsemanship. It's been 18 years since the program began, and with all that wear and tear, the horse arena needs improvements. Help enhance our students' experience at Shepherd's Hill, as well as others who utilize the arena, by donating to the EAP in one of three ways. Purchase a Shepherd's Hill t-shirt, donate your old car, or make a financial gift. All donations are tax deductible and help us continue to provide hope and healing for families in crisis. To learn more and to make a donation, visit LicensedToParent.org and click on the fundraiser banner, LicensedToParent.org.
It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face-to-face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting LicensedToParent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the Family Coaching banner at LicensedToParent.org.
This is Ken Ham, President and CEO of Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum. And I just want to say how much I appreciate Licensed to Parent standing on the authority of God's Word in this age of compromise, teaching parents how to build their thinking on the Word of God and to pass on that spiritual legacy to the next generation.
Welcome back to Licensed to Parent with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosel, and right before the break, we were talking about the positive influences that you want to put in place around your child and the environment in which he or she is growing up. But, Trace, I think it's safe to say that by the same token, we need to be getting rid of negative cultural influences, or at least a few of them. And that might be somewhat possible in the bubble here at Shepherd's Hill Academy, but how can a parent make this happen out in the real world? And in fact, should a parent make this happen in the real world?
Well, no, it's not possible in the real world, but I think as parents that we can do a whole lot better job than we're currently doing.
Okay.
I think we kind of need to first recognize just how far off the mark we are and then reboot through the lens of a biblical worldview. And I think we need to start by being more discerning in what we allow our kids to see on TV, in the movies. The video games are allowed to play. The internet activities need to be monitored, filtered better. Certainly the Facebook activities. I can't imagine why a parent would put a computer in the privacy of Junior's bedroom, but that really should be an absolute no-no. And just to give you an idea, Rich, as to how clueless we really are to the effect of today's entertainment, music in particular, but certainly all the things I just mentioned, there's 300 million people in America. You know how many people complained about the smut on TV and on the airways last year? Mm-mm. Of those 300 plus million people?
No.
619.
Not 619,000.
No, 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 no.
Just
619. And you wonder why all those seven words that George Carlin said you couldn't say on TV before, you can now say?
Yeah.
It's because it seems to be a non-issue with people. They don't understand it. I can tell you, we just received a girl back into the program just yesterday here at Shepherd's Hill, and I can guarantee you that when I find out what's on her iPod and things like that, I know what's going to be there.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that I can get kids to give up sex and drugs long before I can get them to give up their rock and roll and some of the entertainment habits that's brainwashing them into a worldview that is antithetical to a biblical one.
I want us to talk on a future program about this, by the way, and that is what we should be doing as believers to affect change in our world so that we can increase that number from 619 to 619,000.
Okay. I was talking to the FCC this morning about that very thing. I said, am I 620? Because of that 619, my daughter's on that, but I'm not.
Wow.
So we're going to change that. So I'm a bit hypocritical, I guess.
But that's a promo for a future program.
The other thing is, you know, the public school system. You know how we feel about that. But for those parents who are absolutely allegiant to the public school system, or they have no other option, then be more engaged and informed with what's going on in school. I like what June Hunt said the other day when she said, if Junior's acting up in school, go to school, go to his class, show up, you know, and his embarrassment will straighten him out. I mean, I thought that was a very good idea.
Mm-hmm.
The friends that they're allowed to hang out with, we need to be involved in that. I mean, people say, you know, you can't choose your kids' friends. Well, but you can help in the process. And I think we need to be more discerning in that area.
I was about to say, we're teaching our children discernment.
Absolutely.
We're not to be discerning for them.
Exactly.
Unless we are also teaching them to be discerning.
You won't have to teach them what to think when you start teaching them how to think down the line. How we let our kids dress, I know that's an in-house debate, but I'm telling you, we're going to do a program on that as well, especially our girls, the way they dress. I mean, it's appalling. Generally speaking, just be more alert, parents, and look at life through a biblical worldview. Keeping them busy with positive things will curb their appetite for the negative things. So chores around the house and responsibilities around the house will keep them busy and away from some of these negative things. At Shepherd's Hill, that's something that the kids are engaged in. Activities continually, you know, positive things that give them a genuine sense of self-esteem, you know, with sober judgment, not this falsely fluffed, I deserve the best of everything just for showing up attitude, but sober judgment, as Scripture talks about.
Right. Trace, I know you've got on your list of things parents can do about 18 or 20 items. We are only up to, I think, number 5 or so. Let's wrap up with this next one, and then we'll come back and continue this next week.
Yeah, at Shepherd's Hill, the kids are surrounded by wisdom from adults. And I think it's important to understand and emphasize wisdom from adults, which is an outworking of acting out a biblical worldview that we possess here at Shepherd's Hill. But parents can do the same thing at home. Kids want someone in authority to look up to something to aspire to admire. It fosters that sense of security, you know, especially when they see our love for God, our commitment to the Lord. And as I said earlier, when they see us submitted to an authority greater than ourselves, then it's easier for them to submit to our authority. But as we acquire the wisdom of God, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what the Bible says. And it's also the beginning of knowledge. But when a kid isn't surrounded by a bunch of, you know, Peter Pan adults, you know, particularly Peter Pan males, people who are still playing video games at 35, 40, 50 years old. Nothing wrong with video games. It's just that when it becomes the prime pursuit of their lives, you know, that's a problem. And there's a study. This was a secular study done by doctors Edwin Bixenstein, Margaret DeCorte, and Barton Bixenstein. And they said that their findings show that, quote, a child's growing readiness to affirm peer-sponsored antisocial behavior is due to an intense disillusionment with adult veracity or truth, strength, wisdom, importance, goodwill, and fair-mindedness. The child is not won away from parents to children. Rather, he is, at least for a time, lost to adults. And this is one reason why kids defer to Facebook and their peer group. And so they're getting a limited amount and a perverted, really, knowledge of the different aspects of life, largely because they don't trust adults to give them anything worth listening to, basically.
Well, we're talking about ways that that you and your family can avoid having to resort to a residential program when you've got a troubled teen in your life. By doing these things that we're talking about and the things that we'll be talking about on our next broadcast, you can head off the problems that transform your child into a troubled teen. What we're trying to do is create the smoothest possible sailing throughout life here, and that's accomplished through reliance on God, reliance on Scripture and a biblical worldview, and those are the things that we want to help you impart to your kids. You're listening to Licensed to Parent. This is the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, which is a residential program for troubled teens located just north of Atlanta, Georgia. If you find yourself in need of a facility like ours, we would love for you to contact us. You can go to helpmytroubledteen.org, or of course you can visit us on the Licensed to Parent website, licensedtoparent.org. And incidentally, while you're there, I would ask that you would prayerfully consider whether you might become a ministry partner with us here at Shepherd's Hill and at Licensed to Parent. It's really through the generosity of your gifts to this ministry that enable us to help troubled teens and their families from all around the world. Again, visit us online, licensedtoparent.org, and click on the donate button at the upper portion of the screen. These are tax-deductible donations, and again, we thank you for anything you can do to help. Also, we invite you to join us again next week. We'll be back with more from our list of things you can do to avoid having to send your troubled teen to a residential facility. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosel. Thanks for joining us today on Licensed to Parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless. We'll see you next time.